Oh, mama. Hey, how you doing? This is Gerald Celente, and it's Trends This Week. And as with every week, what a week. So here we are, closing in on the presidential reality show. It's like a Clinton-Trump race. You know how my slogan. Campaign 2016, Trump or Clinton, Hitler or Hillary. You know, it used to be the lesser of two evils. Now it's the greater of two, in any word you want to put in there.
But boy, oh boy.
What a trip. Anyway, let's start with some economic news today. Gold is shining, and it's looking really well. All of a sudden, you're hearing from people like J.P. Morgan that gold has entered a new bull market. Now remember, these are the people that were talking down gold, and now they're talking it up. Even Citigroup, which has been talking down gold, they lost a ton of money shorting it. They're changing their tune as well. And there's good reason for it. And that is, there's no economic recovery. And all the central banks are doing is building an economic time bomb. And that is the cover of our Trends Journal. Central bankers build economic time bomb. And it's ready to explode. The fuse has been lit. And that's why you're seeing gold doing what it's doing. And those of you that have been listening to me over the years, and particularly on Progressive Radio News and with Gary Null, you know of our forecast with gold. And I call the beginning of the gold bull run back in early 2000. That's what we actually named it. And I don't give investment advice. Think for yourself. That's the motto of the Trends Journal, taught to me by my dear father, may his soul rest in peace. When I was a young boy, he'd be driving along and I'd be shooting my mouth off. He'd look at me, and in Italian, he'd say to me, Pappagallo, parrot, stop repeating what everybody else is saying and think for yourself. So I'm not saying what you should think. I'm just saying what we see and why we see it, and you decide for yourself. But here are some of the facts. The facts are that China has been doing nothing more than pumping up its failing markets with unprecedented amounts of cheap money. I've been giving you the numbers each week. For example, there was big news back in March, or I should say April, that March's exports for China went up when everyone expected them to go down. Big deal. They went up a little bit. April's numbers just came in. Exports are down again. Imports are down. It's very important because China, in the raw materials sector, takes in some 40 to 50% of the raw materials. So when you look at the slowdown in oil, for example, oil is now trading around $45, $46 a barrel because of course, there was the fire up in Canada, which closed down some of the oil production in the oil sands region. And more fighting in Libya, what a surprise. And lower output out of Iraq. But these are temporary moves. And today, of course, oil went higher because inventories fell by 3.4 million barrels. That's nothing. They're producing over 2 million barrels a day more than demand. So these are just market manipulations. But going back to the world economy and why China is so important, because they absorb so much of the natural resources being produced around the world. So you see the implications. All they're doing is pumping money in. So now with countries like, for example, Nigeria, of which oil is a great export item, and now they're not exporting as much as they used to, and of course they're a very populous nation, what's going on? Well, civil unrest. That's what's going on. So one of the top oil producers, Nigeria, is now suffering financially because their economy depends on it so much. So going back to why gold is going up, because of the implications of geopolitical and economic instability. All of this quantitative easing has not worked. It's only enriched the very rich. And that's why you see, for example, you know, the stories coming out one after another about all the money that the cats in the hedge fund business are making. A choppy year for hedge funds, but chiefs cashed in. Yes, yes. The 25 best paid hedge fund managers took home a collective $12.94 billion in income last year. Isn't that nice? And these are the people, by the way, that lobby Congress. They hardly pay taxes compared to what we, the little people, pay. These private equity groups and hedge funds pay capital gains tax, meaning that, you know, they're making things, and they're not making anything other than money. So they're really not making anything, but they're still paying. See, when Eisenhower was in office, these people would be paying like 90% of their on taxes. And what do hedge funds do? They create nothing. They're gamblers. Derivatives. They're bets. They're not producing a thing, other than a lot of dough for themselves and, of course, the influence. You know, people keep screaming about the Koch brothers, you know, that group that supports, you know, the Republicans. The same thing's going on the Democratic side with these hedge funds. They lobby members of Congress, and they put large sums of money behind presidential candidates. And they're dumping tens of millions of dollars into these super PACs. This is not a democracy anymore. So going back again to the economy, it's all tied together, going back to gold. Everything they've tried to do to pump up this economy has done nothing other than pump up the billions for the already filthy rich billionaires. Boy, they won't give any money for peace around this country either, I can tell you that. I know billionaires. We asked them to help us with Occupy Peace. Yeah, peace. What a joke. Nothing. Nothing. And anyway, when you look at these people, whether it's Soros given to Clinton, whether it's this guy Simons of Renaissance Technologies, 9.2 million already to Democrats in 2016, including 7 million to Priorities USA, a super PAC supporting Hillary Clinton. Yep, Hitlery, as I fondly call her. For all the blood on her hands. Yeah, Gaddafi has to go. Yeah, you did a lovely job over there. So going back again to the economy, going back to gold, the only recovery since 2009 has been to the equity markets, and now they're in trouble, and you're seeing the volatility within among them across the globe. So we remain bullish on gold. It's looking very strong right now. Our forecast, I've said this before, again, we're forecasters. We are not advisors. Our forecast for gold is that right now you're seeing it at 1276. It has to break over 1300 and move to 1400 to really gain strength. Once it goes over 1400 and stabilizes, we are forecasting gold to spike after that. Nothing goes straight up. But so when we say a spike, it means going 14, 1425, 1450, 1480, back down to 1420, you know, maybe 1380, back up, and then keep moving forward. But the movement, the upward movement, we forecast will be very strong. And again, when you look at the data that keeps coming in, what did we saw? Gross domestic product in the United States grew the grand total of what? 0.5%? Hey, remember those job numbers that came out on Friday? You know, we do trends in the news on trends this week on Wednesday, so we didn't talk about that. So the job numbers stunk. It came in at about 160,000. They're expecting over 200,000. And then when you look at the jobs, it's the same old lousy jobs, retail sector, home health aides. I love the term they use, hospitality sector. Doesn't that sound nice? Hospitality sector. Yeah, making beds in hotels, waiters, bartenders, waitresses. Not that there's anything wrong with those jobs. It's just that, you know, it's not a career that sustains itself and gives you a level of income that could take you not only into living comfortably today as a middle-class citizen, but what do you do for retirement? So those are the jobs that are being created. So there is no recovery. And all they've done is flood the world with baskets of cheap currency. So the Trends Journal, which will be out tomorrow, trendsresearch.com, trendsresearch.com, that's our homepage. Go to it, and you can subscribe to the Trends Journal, of course, to get and read history before it happens. But the cover is Central Bankers Build Economic Time Bomb, and that fuse is lit. And we only put facts in. We don't put our opinion in. So this is an opinion-based newsletter, nothing to do with opinions. And, of course, it goes way beyond what I'm talking about in economics. We're doing a big section on virtual reality, a cashless society, presidential reality show. We have our forecast. And one great piece of trending information after another that you won't find anywhere else. So when you look again at the economic climate, it's extremely important to put into place the socioeconomic implications. As I said, when you look what's going on with Nigeria, it's not only Nigeria that's suffering because of low oil prices. Look what's going on in Brazil. Take a trip to Venezuela. How about Congo? Ain't so great in South Africa. And now, of course, we have the refugee crisis building as well, and the migrant crisis. The migrant crisis being these people. I mentioned Nigeria, Venezuela, Brazil. You're going to see more and more outflows. Congo, Ghana, South Africa, flowing out of these countries and into countries where they think they can make a buck, or a pound, or a yen, or a euro. So again, it's all tied together. And on top of it all, of course, is economic instability along with geopolitical instability. And again, look what's going on in each of these countries around the world that are suffering economic plight. And then look at the consequences of what's going to happen. And you can see the backlashes. They had, I talked about this a few weeks ago, they had an election in Austria. And the Freedom Party, new party. And it's interesting, they call them a right-wing Freedom Party. The right-wing Freedom Party, they don't want to take in any more refugees or migrants. And they don't agree with being in the Eurozone. That makes them right-wing. How come when the New York Times or Washington Post or any of the papers talk about the Republicans and Democratic candidates, they call them conservatives? How about calling them right-wing? Because there's nothing conservative about them. Conservative? Getting involved in foreign entanglements? I don't think that's conservative. Conservative? Well, they're not conserving any dough because they're spending all this money on the war machine. And when you add it up, it's over $1 trillion. So what are they talking about being conservative for? Why don't the media call, you know, Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton right wing? But that's what they do. Then when they refer to the other parties overseas, when they want to take a cheap shot at them. You know, I wrote this in the in my book Trends 2000 many years ago, 20 years ago, my God. It was a national bestseller in 17 different languages. But going back to Austria election before I get into this, the going to see the unrest going on around the world, and a lot of it having to do with the refugee crisis and economics, this Freedom Party had forced now the Austrian chancellor to abruptly resign. And the headline in the New York Times is, Austrian chancellor resigns abruptly amid surge in right-wing sentiment. So we should call the people that support Clinton and Trump, because Clinton has a war record. Oh, by the way, you remember she used to call herself when she was running against Bernie, a progressive liberal? Now she's calling in for them conservative Republicans to back her, but that's another story. So anyway, going into this, now look what's going is, again, in tracking trends, it's all connected. It's globalnomic, making connections between different fields. I began talking about the economy, what's going on in Nigeria. Now I'm talking about Austria. You see what's going on in Venezuela and the movements going on. Now look what just happened in Greece. They shoved it to him again. The Greek people, remember, a year ago, July, they voted against austerity measures. Yet, they had a referendum. And by the way, that's what's got referendums are becoming very big throughout Europe. You're going to have the one in June 23rd, the Brexit, whether or not they're going to break away the British from the Eurozone. Now it's popping up in Italy, in France, in Germany, in Austria, in one country after another, people for referendums. So again, going back, tying it all together, it's globalnomics. So the Greeks voted last July not to accept the austerity measures. But the government under Tsipras, another sellout, said, the hell with you. You're only the people. Your vote doesn't count. We'll tell you what to do. So they accepted the austerity measures. And then just a few days ago, more austerity measures. Now, let's stop using this word austerity, because it's a BS white shoe boys word. Austerity measures mean we're going to steal your money because the banks made bad bets and loan monies to governments that they can't pay back. So we're going to steal the money from you to give it back to the banksters. I'm not making that up. A report just came out this week from Germany. 95% of the money that they have taxed the people of Greece for austerity measures, the loans that were taken in from the IMF, the World Bank, European Central Bank, to 95% of that money that they borrowed went to French and German banks who loaned the Greeks the money. Only 5% went back into the Greek economy. 5%. So these austerity measures are a BS word. Austerity measures means, oh, you're out of work? You can't make payments on your car or your house or your taxes? Guess what? We're going to raise the taxes. Yeah, we're going to call them a VAT tax. Value-added tax, yeah. They raise the value-added taxes on everything, even a cup of coffee, the internet, everything. They keep raising the taxes on the people. Oh, we're going to cut your pension. Yeah, we'll give you a couple of $100. You're only getting a couple of $100 before. You're going to get a couple of $100 less. And we're going to raise your Social Security age until after you die. So again, make all these connections. Nigeria, the people are revolting. Congo. Ghana. Greece. Italy. You're going to start seeing uprisings around the world as economies go down. Let's go back to what I began with, gold. In times of geopolitical unrest, in times of socioeconomic decline, gold is that safe haven commodity. And that's what we're seeing. So again, when you read about the Austrian chancellor resigning, you see the people taking to the streets once again in Greece. You read about what's going on in Brazil. And in Argentina, and in Venezuela, put together the migrant crisis on top of the refugee crisis, you can see where we're heading. Tracking trends is an understanding of where we are, how we got here, and where we're going. And you can see where this is leading. Again, it's Globalnomic. The numbers don't lie. The politicians and the media do. The numbers couldn't be clearer. So on the economic front, it's not good. The numbers came in. The jobs stink. Retail is soft. You look at whether it's exports coming out of Japan, out of Taiwan, South Korea, Indonesia, all those countries, resource rich, that were plowing products into China, no more. Big, big, big decline. And again, China, when you look at their debt levels, they're astounding. They're, as I've mentioned before, some 20 years ago, the Chinese total debt level was about $500 billion. Today, it's 30 trillion plus. So before I was mentioning about conservatives and liberals, and actually the so-called other side, and I was mentioning how they don't call, they call the people here conservatives, but if it was in a foreign country, they'd be calling them right-wing. Well, here's what I wrote 20 years ago in Trends 2000. So-called conservatives no longer conserved. They no longer showed, quote, a disposition to preserve what is established, end quote. The environment had been established for millions of years. Conservatives clear-cut the environment whenever the environment stood in the way of a cost-benefit analysis. Conservatives no longer referred to people preferring gradual development to abrupt change, end quote. Conservatives were those who felt morally justified in casting the first bomb at any other nation or institution with a different value system. So stop with this baloney that you people are conservatives. What a bunch of garbage. Oh, you're conservative because you don't believe in abortion or gay rights? That has nothing to do with being conservatives. That's your ideology. You're entitled to believe it or not. But don't put the label on it. Call it an ideology. It has nothing to do with the definition of a conservative. Liberal no longer meant broad-minded, tolerant, and not bound by authoritarianism. Liberals enacted legislation to suspend civil rights. Hey, Obama, folks. You know, I'm tired of them talking down to us with this folks stuff. Save it for somebody else. Bush blustered his way into the White House on BS. Obama lied his way into the White House. The arrogance of Obama, I've had it, enough of it for the rest of my life. Bush, I almost lost my career going after Bush. That's when I started getting banned from CNN and Fox and all the others. And used to be on Oprah, the Today Show. You know, when I came out and said what would happen with the wars. And of course, they made a movie about it with Doris Roberts, may her soul rest in peace, who played Everyone Loves Raymond, his mother. That TV show, one of my books, What Zizzy Gave Honey Boy, how I got banned and started getting blackballed from TV. And when I said what would happen with the Afghan and Iraq wars and the economy. But anyway, going on to Obama, there's an arrogance about him and the lies that he keeps telling and gets away with. So going back to liberals who believe this stuff, here's again the definition for a liberal. Liberal no longer meant broad-minded, tolerant, and not bound to authoritarianism. Liberals enacted legislation to suspend civil liberties, cancel constitutional rights, and initiated broad police state powers. Remember, I wrote this in 1996. You know who the liberal was in there then? Bill Clinton. Yeah. Liberal no longer meant, quote, a belief in economic freedom and the greater individual participation in government, end quote. Liberals legislated policies that resulted in more government intrusion rather than less, more control, more centralization, more foreign entanglements, and more secrecy. Again, this is 20 years ago, Trends 2000. And I go, as for democracy, abroad this word was now applied to any country doing business with us. At home, this meant overriding dissenting 70% and 80% popular majorities on one issue after another. The government systematically implemented policies dictated to it not by the people, but by the people who paid for political campaigns. On the state, county, and local level, things were no different. Hometown USA was a mini Washington, just that the big stick was smaller and contracts given out to cronies had fewer zeros attached to them. Abuse was inevitable. It could not be otherwise. Our vaunted two-party system was in practice an illusion. Yes, yes, an illusion. So, I'm tired of hearing about this conservative and liberal stuff. They're all a bunch of frauds. I was talking about the fraudster Obama. He gave a speech at Howard University this past weekend that to me was very disturbing. Of course, Howard University is a predominantly black college. He goes on to say, he keeps insisting on the progress that he's made as president. And of course, he played the race card, but the race card he played is a joker. And that's what he is, man. He's the joker. I want to make this clear. Is there racism in the United States? Of course there is. Is there intolerance? Of course there is. Are there anti-Islamic and Muslim sentiments in the United States? Of course there are. Are there anti-Semites? Definitely. Hey, my being of an Italian-American descent, look how they associate with the mafia all the time. You can't do that to any other nationality. Yes, there are ignorant people that do those things. America is not a racist nation. If it was, we would not have a black president and a black first lady living in the White House. Again, of course there are racists. Of course there are bigots. Of course there are small-minded people. They're worldwide, in every culture. But look at the progress that was made by electing Barack Obama, who came in with such high expectations of hope and change you could believe in. So he goes on, insisting that progress has been made. Quote, America is by almost every measure better than it was when I graduated from college, he said back in 1983. Oh, it is by any measure? Not economically. Race-wise? Well, I remember all these black TV shows on back then. Remember Bill Cosby and forgetting about all the other stuff that happened with him. And one after another. And economically, we're certainly in much worse shape. Race relations are better since I graduated. That's the truth. Huh? No, my election did not create a post-racial society, but the election itself and the subsequent one, because the first one, folks, might have made a mistake, was just one indicator of how attitudes have changed. I don't know what he means here, but that's what he said. I'm just reading. And again, this folks. Stop the folk. 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 How about folks? You. Yeah, university. Folks. Racism persists. Inequality persists. He goes on to say. Yes, it does. And as I said, probably always will. And not only racism and inequality, but bigotry and hatred, and immorality. Hey, how about killing people with drones that you don't know or don't have been convicted of nothing and slaughtering innocent people around the world? That persists. But why talk about that? He goes on. When I was graduating, the main black hero on TV was Mr. T, the burly mohawk-wearing former professional wrestler. No, there were other black people on TV. As I mentioned, Bill Cosby show, running for a lot of years, a lot of great shows. Rap and hip-hop were counterculture, underground. They weren't underground. They were counterculture because a lot of people didn't look at rap and hip-hop as culture. It was counter to culture. You may like it, but rap's not music. No, it's poetry more because there are no instruments playing in it, as with hip-hop. And it was called gangster rap. Obama, folks. It was called gangster rap because they took the lowest common denominator of society, the most violent criminals in the prison system, the ones that they wouldn't give belts to or shoelaces, because you wrap that thing around another guy's neck and choke him. They used anything for violence. And they made a whole culture out of it. Gangster rap. Oh, beautiful. Take the lowest denominator of society and rise it to an entertainment culture and brag about it? He goes on. Now Shonda Rhimes owns Thursday Night and Beyonce runs the world. What kind of an arrogant, ignorant imbecile would make a statement like that? Ah, the President of the United States. And I thought George Bush was the greatest imbecile I've ever known as a president. Beyonce runs the world. We're no longer entertainers, we're producers, studio executives. No longer small business owners. We're CEOs. We're mayors, representatives, presidents of the United States, fraud leader of the United States. Oh, Beyonce and Shonda Rhimes, huh? Rap and hip-hop, huh? Counterculture. But now that Obama's there, the blacks have come out. Oh, yeah. Hey, wasn't there a thing, Obama? You probably don't know about this. It was called jazz. Yeah. Beyonce runs the world. Hey, Obama, did you ever hear of Louis Armstrong? He was known as America's great diplomat, traveling all over the world, even behind the Iron Curtain, as a practitioner of peace. Bringing the greatest music that America's ever known around the world. Jazz. Oh, Jelly Roll Morton. Oh, he was white. Oh, Ella Fitzgerald. Hey, Ella Fitzgerald's no Beyonce. Hey, what about Dinah Washington? White as toast. Sarah Vaughan. Oop. Sarah Vaughan's no Shonda Rhimes. And hip-hop? How could hip-hop compare with Duke Ellington? American classical music. You want to talk about the envy of the world? Even go back to World War II and listen to the German propaganda. You know what they were using? Swing time. Recordings of Benny Goodman in Japan before the war. Oh, I shouldn't say Benny Goodman. He was white. Black people, look at what they've given this country. Its greatest export item that we've ever known, lost, jazz. And you got a clown like this shooting his arrogant mouth off that Beyonce runs the world. Maybe in his little world, the little world of Washington, D.C., the little world of murder and thievery. Beyonce runs the world. The great black entertainers. And you put these little people on top of them. Count Basie, Jimmy Rushing. Jimmy Lunsford, Lionel Hampton, Wynonie Harris. I know Obama. I got it. Rap and hip hop were counterculture. Oh yeah, but then it came out. Hey, Motown. Oh yeah, Motown. Motown was white, right? What hypocrisy. What arrogance. Oh, I shouldn't talk about Motown because that was like Detroit. And Detroit's Michigan. And Obama was in Flint. That's right. Gave the folks of Flint the finger. Went over there a couple of weeks ago, week ago, and told the kids, hey, it's okay to drink the water. Yeah, gobble it on down. Here, I'm going to have a glass. I'll show you. It's okay to drink. Puts on this cheap act of drinking water in Flint. Could you imagine? Told the kids to drink it. It's fine. And gave them peanuts to clean up the mess. Peanuts, as the United States spends trillions on a war budget and billions in bombs. And no pennies for Flint. What a disgrace. A two-bit actor on the presidential reality show pulpit. Think this guy could ever speak without a teleprompter in front of him? And of course, we wrote in the Trends Journal a long time ago, back in 2007, that he was going to win the race. We knew it when Oprah took him under his wing. That's when the whole game changed. And I've been on Oprah. I've been on just about everybody's show, from O'Reilly to Brian Williams. You name it. You know, around the world. But boy, you go on Oprah's show, it's a different trip, man. Nobody could compare to that one when she had her show going on. It was a real first-rate operation. None of the networks came close to it. So she's a real pro. And she never supported a candidate other than him. And when that happened, the game changed. And that's all it is. It's a game. And by the way, I just want to remind you as well that we're coming up with a great conference here in July. And it's on becoming an on-trendpreneur. That's right. It's Friday and Saturday, July 22nd and 23rd. And here's some breaking news. Breaking news. I mentioned about all the shows I've been on, and one of my favorite, and two of my favorite people in the entertainment business, in the media business, I should say, are Max Kaiser and Stacey Herbert. And of course, Max Kaiser on the Kaiser Report on RT, Russia Today. They're going to be here in Colonial Kingston as one of our guest speakers on becoming on-trendpreneurs. And they did it. Max has quite a history. He was a big Wall Street guy at one time. And what becoming an on-trendpreneur is, finding your future and taking a direction that's going to put you on trend so that you have a future in front of you that's going to be profitable and add growth opportunities. And it's filling up very fast. People are coming from all over the world. They're coming from Australia, Hong Kong, Chile, France, Italy, Switzerland, Ireland, Calgary, from East Coast to West. So when you come here to Colonial Kingston, and by the way, we hold the meetings at the 1774 Academy. That's right. This was one of the... This building was one of the top schools in New York, you know, for the young elite. And so to even be holding this on-trendpreneur conference in the historic 1774 Academy in itself is a treat as well. So it's filling up fast. It's truly international. It's a one of a kind, and it will sell out soon. So if you're interested in finding out more information, to register or find out more information, call Taryn Clark, T-A-R-Y-N, Taryn, at the Institute. The number is 845-331-3500, 845-331-3500. And Taryn can also provide information about the area and help you with your planning. So that's Taryn Clark, 845-331-3500, to attend our On Trendpreneur conference. And we're not filming this, as we did when Gary Null was here, and Gary had the crowd boy on the edge of their seats, along with Dr. Paul Craig Roberts at our last conference. And this one's not going to be, it won't be available on video. You can still get the one with Gary Null and Dr. Paul Craig Roberts and myself. That video is available at our website, trendsresearch.com, trendsresearch.com. And I encourage you to get the video. I know you know Gary's work inside out. What he did here and with Dr. Paul Craig Roberts and the whole program is unique. And you can see the energy and dynamics. This one will not be available on video because we're going to be providing proprietary entrepreneur information. It's a unique conference, so the only way you're going to get it is by being here. But to see what it's about as well and to get a good overview of the dynamics, I suggest you consider going to our website, trendsresearch.com, and getting that video as well. So there we are with some of the news, and of course a lot is going on. And I want to stay on this Obama thing a little bit, because he really did a lot, got a lot of coverage on it. And he said some things that I found unsettling as well besides that. He said, addressing, this is from the New York Times, the class of 2016 at Howard University, but speaking broadly to African-American youths who have fueled a new civil rights protest movement during his presidency, Mr. Obama urged them to adopt a more disciplined form of activism that goes beyond indignant rhetoric and uncompromising demands. Quote, change requires more than righteous anger. It requires a program, and it requires organizing. Ah, change. As in change you could believe in? Change requires more than righteous anger? Yeah. Well, you, there was no change at all other than a change of mind. But I'll continue. Mr. Obama, the country's first African-American president, told the graduates at Howard University, one of the country's oldest historically black universities, quote, passion is vital, but you have got to have a strategy. If you think the only way forward is to be uncompromising as possible, you will feel good about yourself. You will enjoy a certain moral purity, but what you're not going to get what you want. Let me read that again. If you think the only way forward is to be as uncompromising as possible, you will feel good about yourself. You will enjoy a certain moral purity, but you're not going to get what you want. Ah, compromise. How about selling out, Obama? Hey, did a great job with that Guantanamo, huh? Yeah, I'm going to close it, folks. First day he said in office by the end of the year. And that was only 7 years ago. Troop surge in Afghanistan. No boots on the ground in Iraq, in Syria, huh? Anyway, you will enjoy a certain moral purity. So what he's saying is moral purity can be compromised. Guess what, fraud? You can't compromise morality and purity. But for a liar in chief and a man so ignorant to say that Beyonce runs the world, morality means nothing to you, and by their deeds you shall know them. And by the way, I'm not only going after Obama, as I mentioned, I got a great history with Bush, and I just read to you from my Trends 2000 when the fraud Clinton was in office. I'm showing you the whole system is corrupt. It goes back to what I was saying, what's going on around the world. That's not happening in the United States. There needs to be a new way. I read to you from the Trends 2000 about the death of democracy with the two-party system. It's not a two-party system. It's corporatism. I read to you about the hedge fund multi-billionaires that got all this money from Obama and Bush and too big to fail and QEs and thises and thats. And the money they're giving to Congress and lobbying to get what they want and take from us. Look what's going on around the world. If the Austrians can do it, why can't the Americans? If the British can do it, why can't the Americans? If the French could do it with Le Pen's party, and again, not supporting, agreeing, or disagreeing with their parties, I'm talking about the movements. They're moving away from corporate control of a two-party system. That's a one-party system. If they can do it in Germany with the AfD party, why can't we do it in America? Because if we don't, it's not going to be an election, as I said, of a lesser of two evils. It's going to be one of the greater of two, and I can't use the word because a lot of people won't like it. A lesser of two lowlifes? The greater of two lowlifes? Morals don't count. Yep, not, no moral purity, said. Of course, morals don't count when you're a sociopath like I am. That's what he should have said. Yep. Morals don't count when you're a murderer. And you say you're really good at killing people. Quote, that was a quote from Obama about his drone policy when they have that Terror Tuesday when they decide who they're going to kill. And he has the nerve to make a statement, you will enjoy a certain moral purity, but you're not going to get what you want. Not going to get what you want. In other words, you're not going to sell out. If you don't sell out and get what you want, then you're lost. And that's in the mind of a sick person. Moral purity is all that counts, not getting what you want, at least for me. And I only say, think for yourself. Now, I have a definition for hell. Hell is taking that last breath and realizing you weren't the person you said you were or could have been. How's that for moral purity? And when you look at this guy's stupid statements about what he kept saying. It goes on, Michael Jordan is not only the greatest basketball player of all times, he said, but a team owner. That makes it different. And here's something else stupid. And while you don't have excuses, he said, you don't have to guess the number of jelly beans in a jar. He's talking about voting. He's had young people voted in greater numbers, he said, his own policies would have been more successful. That's an outright lie. The Democrats were in total control of Congress when he got elected, and the whole nation was for him. So he's blaming people. He said just 20% of young people voted in the last election. The president said, his voice rising in anger. You mean 20% of the people were stupid enough to vote in the last election? And they didn't want to, and they voted for liars, cowards, freaks, and fools like you and the rest. And you don't have to have excuses, he said, for not voting. And you don't have to guess the number of jelly beans in a jar or bubbles on a soap bar to register to vote. Register to vote for one of the criminal operations, one of the murderers and thieves. And what stupid language. Jelly beans in a jar. You don't have to risk your lives to cast a ballot. Then he goes on to say, be confident in your heritage. Be confident in your blackness. Great, I agree. Mr. Obama said, citing Prince, the singer who recently died, one entertainment person after another, Michael Jordan, Prince, Shonda Rhimes, whatever her name is, and Beyonce. This is the president of the United States. And he goes on to say, you need to have the same confidence. Or as my daughters tell me all the time, you be you, daddy. End quote. I could imagine me saying to my father, you be you, daddy. He look at me like, daddy. Talking down to my father or mother. And how grateful I am for my being, my breath, my blood, my bones, my body, and my brain, for them creating me and coming from them. And to talk down to my father, you be you, daddy. As though my father didn't know how to be himself. And this man's the president of the United States. And his kids have to tell him who to be? Well, of course they do. Because he's a fraud. A phony. A freak. A liar. And a coward. Yeah, you be you, daddy. Keep reading into that teleprompter. Keep telling them lies. So there we are. Don't forget, Trends Journal coming out on Thursday. Our conference coming up in July. Call Taryn Clark, 845-331-3500. And thanks for having me on again on Progressive Radio Network. And Gary Noll, and wish you all the best. And remember, think for yourself. Mm-hmm.